I want to invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to John chapter 13 because there is such an amazing picture of Jesus in John chapter 13. We know Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You turn to John chapter 13, He is the servant of servants. We know and we think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 being the love chapter, and it is. But I want you to think about another chapter 13 in the Bible, John chapter 13, as a chapter about love. It begins with love, the love that Jesus had for His disciples in verse 1. It ends with love in verses 34 and 35, the love that we are to have for each other. And in the middle is Jesus demonstrating what real love is. In fact, the whole book of John, it's an amazing book about love, and chapter 13 seems to be a pivot point in this book. The first 12 chapters of this book, you'll find the word love 12 times. You think, well, that's not very many, one per chapter. But when you start in chapter 13 and you go to the end of the book, you're going to find the word love 45 times. 12 times, first 12 chapters, not 45 times in the last 9 chapters. What's the pivot point? John chapter 13. Where Jesus shows us what true love is all about. When Jesus shows us what Christian love is all about. Jesus raised the bar on what love is. In the Old Testament, you were to love your neighbor as you would love yourself. But Jesus says, I want you to love your neighbor as I have loved you. Jesus raised the bar. I want you to walk with me into that room in John 13. I want you to walk into that upper room with Jesus and His disciples. And I want you to go in there, and as you walk into this room, I want you to see that table that is off to the side, that has a basin, a bowl that is empty, that has a pitcher of water, that has a towel that's laying there. But I want you to see that it's just sitting on that table. And as you walk in the room, there is no one in the room to take care of that pitcher of water and that basin and that towel. And so it just sits there on the table. And I want you to be in that room with Jesus as you go and you sit down around that table with Jesus. And after everybody has come in, after everybody has reclined in their position, that pitcher, and that basin and that towel are still sitting over there where they were when you came in the room. You see, fleshly thinking says, I need to be served by someone else, not me serving somebody else. And so that pitcher and that basin and that towel sat right there on that table. And while the disciples are there, I want you to go in that room with me. While the disciples are there, around that table, they begin arguing about something that they had argued about at least 2 or 3 times before this event. They begin arguing about who is going to be the greatest. Luke 22, 24 is a parallel account to John 13. They're sitting at that table, and what are they doing? But bickering back and forth, no, I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. No wonder the pitcher and the basin and the towel are still sitting on that table. So they're sitting and arguing who is going to be the greatest. And so as He had done multiple times already in His ministry, Jesus gets ready to teach them a lesson. He gets ready to teach them a lesson about humility. And it is not a lesson that will start with words. It is a lesson that will start with action. It is a lesson that is an object lesson because Jesus wanted them to get it. One final time before He died, He wanted them to get it. That he who serves is the greatest. And brother and sister in Christ, God put this story in the Bible so that we would get it. so that we would understand what Christian love is. We learn in John chapter 13 that the love that we could describe as a Christian love, a love that comes from Christ, a love that is emulated in Christ, is a love that serves. But what does this love do? What does it serve? I want you to think about three things this morning. The first thing is that Christian love serves no matter what. No matter what it is, Christian love serves. Somebody says, well, of course Christian love serves. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe? And are you ready to serve your brother and sister in Christ no matter what? They walked in that room, and the washing of feet was the lowliest of tasks, was a menial task that was reserved for slaves. They walked in that room, and there was no servant who had been assigned to be there that night, apparently. There was no servant in that room to take care of the task of the washing of feet, because that was a slave's job. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the 12 apostles, walked in that room, and none of them believed that it was their job. They saw it as someone else's job. The very touching of somebody else's feet was considered to be the lowliest thing that somebody could ever do. And there was nobody there to do it. And everybody who was there was too big to do it. I want you to think about what's happening in that room. And how you have 12 men who are too good to get up and to serve. And so what happened in this room? Jesus stands up quietly from where He is sitting. I don't believe that Jesus sounded a trumpet when He stood up, do you? I don't believe that Jesus said, I don't believe that Jesus cleared His throat and drew attention to Himself to say, I want you to make... That would have ruined the lesson, wouldn't it? They're all sitting around arguing about who is going to be the greatest. And do you picture Jesus quietly rising to His feet? Walking over to that part of the room where there was that table with the basin empty, pitcher of water and the towel. And Jesus walks over to that table. Look at those verses in John chapter 13. Can you imagine what's happening in John chapter 13 and beginning of verse 4, where Jesus takes the lowliest task? He rose from supper. He laid aside His garments. He took a towel and girded Himself. He took His outer garment, His outer cloak off. He replaced it with a servant's towel. He poured the water from the pitcher into the basin, and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He had girded Himself. The Son of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, became the servant of servants and bent down and washed their feet. What about us? Christian love serves no matter what the task is. Even if it's the lowliest of tasks, that's what Christian love does. Are we willing to do that? Brother and sister in Christ, are you willing? You willing to do the lowliest of tasks? Are you willing to do the task that really should be reserved for someone who is, well, not quite as important as you are? Are we willing to do the tasks where maybe there won't be a whole lot of attention, positive, favorable attention that's drawn to us? Are we willing to do those tasks that maybe are the most demeaning of tasks? Ready to stoop down and to take on a task that maybe we think somebody else should be doing. As we go through this lesson this morning, I want you to think, what are these tasks? that Christian love does? What are these things that Christian love does for each other, for brothers and sisters in Christ? What is it that we need to be doing? And am I ready to serve my brethren no matter what it might be? But in John chapter 13, the second thing we learn is that Christian love serves no matter when. Somebody says, well, I know Christian love serves. Well, are you ready? Are you ready to serve your brother and sister in Christ no matter when it is? When did Jesus choose to serve? Jesus chose to serve when no one else was serving. Everybody else was eating. Jesus chose a time to serve. If you look in chapter 13, down in verse 2, the indication there is that the supper was not ended. It was not completed. Literally, the passage is saying there that while the supper was in progress, it's not that, well, everything was done and everybody was kind of relaxed. No, it's in progress while this supper is happening. Nobody else is serving but Jesus. Isn't that the hardest time to serve? Isn't it the hardest time to serve when nobody, if everybody else is doing it, hey, I can pitch in and join the crowd and, you know, help everybody out. But when nobody else is doing it, am I ready to serve no matter when? But it's even more than that for Jesus. Jesus served, look in verse 1. Jesus served when it was His last hour. If you read through the book of John, you will come across several times where the Bible indicates, and even Jesus will say, it is not yet my hour. It is not yet my hour. It was not yet His hour. His hour had not yet come. You're going to read that throughout the first 12 chapters of the book of John. But then you get to chapter 13 and verse 1. Before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father. What was going on? Jesus knew exactly what time it was. He knew exactly what hour it was. Jesus knew that this was the last meal that He would eat before He died. He knew that. He knew that when He left that room, that He was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew, look at verse 2. He knew that Judas was going to betray Him. He knew that His crucifixion would happen the next morning. Jesus knew that it was His last hour. What would the normal person be doing if they knew it was their last hour? What would the normal, the natural person be focusing on and be thinking about if they knew, I will not be alive much longer? The normal thing to do would be to focus on yourself. The normal thing to do would be to focus on, what are my needs right now? What do I need these men to do for me right now? That would be the normal thing to think about. That's not what Jesus is thinking about. Jesus, in His last hour, when you look down at verse 33, you see that Jesus said to them, I will be with you a little longer. He knew it was done. And in His last hour, Jesus was serving. Jesus was thinking about somebody else other than Himself. You see, that's what Christian love does. Christian love thinks about others before it thinks about self. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself, Philippians 2 and verse 3. And isn't that the lesson that Jesus was teaching His disciples in John chapter 13? That Christian love serves no matter when. But what about us? What about us? Do we serve each other no matter when it is? Do we serve each other even when it might be, well, it's just not convenient right now? I've really got some other things going on. And, you know, now is just not the time. Do we serve others when perhaps the attention should be on us? When maybe I'm the one who's sick? When maybe I'm the one who's not doing well? Why aren't other people serving me? But instead, what did Jesus do? He was serving others. Reminded of those mothers. You know, mothers don't punch a clock. It's not that you take care of your kids from 9 to 5 and then at 5 o'clock you check out. Say, well, I'm done for the day. Wish you well. You know, hope you can make it through the night and perhaps we'll see you tomorrow. Perhaps we won't. A mom doesn't get to call in sick. She doesn't get to say to that crying baby, sorry, I'm not feeling well tonight. You're just going to have to fix yourself the bottle and change your own diaper. My tummy, I've got a little tummy ache and my head's not feeling so well, so you kind of take care of yourself tonight. Those of you who are mothers know there were no times set on when you helped your kids. You didn't get to say, no, I'm sick. You didn't get to say, well, you know, I really need some me time right now. Because when it comes to serving your kids, it doesn't matter when it is. Jesus tells us and teaches us in John chapter 13, when it comes to serving each other, it doesn't matter when. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter when it is. And the third thing that Jesus teaches us is that when it comes to Christian service, Christian love serves. And it doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who it is. There's two things with this point. First thing is that Jesus teaches us that it doesn't matter who is doing the serving. Think about who's doing the serving in John chapter 13. Look at those first couple verses. Look in John chapter 13. Look in verse 3. Jesus knowing, what did he know? He knew who he was. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. What does he know? He knows that he is God. He knows that he is divine. He knows that he is from God, verse 3, and that he's going back to God. Jesus knows exactly who he is. You drop down to verses 13 and 14, his conversation with his disciples. He knows that he is the teacher. He's the Lord. He's the master. Who is it who is doing the who should be receiving the service in John 13, the one who's doing the serving? What does Jesus teach us? Christian love serves no matter who it is, including who is doing the serving. Here's the one who is God, who is Lord and Master, and still he gets down on his knees in front of his friends and washes their feet. Are we doing that? When we look at Christian love and what our responsibilities are towards each other, is that where our heart is? What Jesus teaches us in John 13 is that there is no one too good to serve. There's no one too important to serve. There's no one too powerful to serve. There's no one too big to serve. There's no one too old, too young, too busy. There's no one too anything to serve each other. How do we know that? Look down in verse 16. Jesus has a conversation. Verse 13. He says, you call me, verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. Look at verse 14. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, wonder what that means for you. You also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, no one is too good. No one is too important. No one is too powerful. No one is too big to serve. Why? I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. I'm not too big, too busy, too important, too good to serve because I am not better than Jesus. I'm not better than Jesus. He's my master. He's my Lord. And if He got down to serve, who am I to say I cannot be the one to do the lowliest, most menial, most thankless job that there is? But there's a second part to this who. Christian love serves no matter who it is, applies to, doesn't matter who's doing the serving, but it also says it doesn't matter who is being served. Jesus washed 24 feet that night. Washed 24 feet. How many feet would you be willing to wash? He washed 24 feet that were dirty and dusty and grimy because they were in sandals walking on roads and paths that were not paved. This was not some ordinance. This was not some religious ordinance. Well, you know, let me do this as a tradition. This was something that had to be done. Perhaps he was sitting next to Peter's feet and he thought, you know, somebody needs to get busy washing this boy's feet. There's something stinking up in here while we're trying to eat. He washed 24 feet that night. He knew that all 24 of those feet were going to scatter and flee and deny Him that night. He knew every 24 of those feet were going to leave Him that night. He knew it. But there are two men who are especially singled out in this washing. Jesus bent down and washed Peter's feet. Verses 13, earlier, back up in verse 6 and following down, he has this conversation with Peter. Peter's one of those interesting Bible characters. Jesus comes to wash Peter's feet, the one who had withstood him when he said, I'm going to die. And Peter stood right up and rebuked him and said, I'm not going to let that happen. The man that Jesus knew would deny him, would say three times, I don't know the man, and would swear and curse, saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus knew that he was going to do that, and yet he bent down to wash his feet. And good old impetuous Peter said, my feet? Thou art going to wash my feet? No, sir, you are doing too much here. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have fellowship with me. Peter says, okay, here's my feet, here's my head, here's my arms, here's the rest of me. So at first, Jesus was doing too much. Now when he's getting ready to wash his feet, Peter's saying, you're not doing enough. You need to wash all of me. Jesus got down and washed that man's feet. Jesus got down and washed Judas's feet. Jesus knew, look in verse 2, look throughout this chapter, Judas is mentioned, before he ever washes their feet, Judas is mentioned in verse 2 to let you know he is in the room, he's there. He bends down to wash the man's feet, who in just a few hours, not tomorrow, not next week, in just a few hours, this man is going to lead a battalion of soldiers with clubs and swords and torches to that garden, and he's going to walk up to him. He's going to kiss him on the... He knew he was going to do that, and he got down and washed his feet the same way he washed all of the other 22 feet that night. Jesus did not treat Judas any different than he treated the other men. I want you to think about that. He didn't treat him any differently. How do we know? Because when he hands him that sop of bread, the indication of the one who was going to betray him, the disciples still didn't get it. You drop down to verses 28 and 29 in this chapter, and when Judas leaves, they still don't realize he's the one who's going to betray Jesus. How did they not know it? Because Jesus did not call Judas out and say, you scoundrel, you sorry, good-for-nothing man. Let me tell you something. If you're going to betray me, you might as well go to hell, sir. He didn't call him out. He handed him the bread, sign that he was going to betray him. Jesus treated Judas the same way he treated everybody else there that night. Because Christian love serves no matter who it is. What about us? And ushers, if you've got the orange papers, you can start passing those out, and you might get some men in the back who want to stretch their legs. If some men are around and want to help them pass these out, we'll talk about these in a minute. Just hold on to a minute. But what about us? Are we ready to serve no matter who we think we are? Are we ready to serve no matter who it is that needs to be served? Are we ready to serve with the idea that I am not any better than anybody else? You know, there might be certain people that we have a hard time. We have a hard time serving them because, well, maybe they've been disloyal to us. Maybe they have mistreated us. Maybe they just irritate us. Maybe they're just that brother or sister in Christ that they just, you know, they just bug me. I just don't want to be around them. Christian love serves no matter who it is. Brethren, are we ready? Are we ready to serve each other no matter what? No matter when? No matter who it is that needs to be served? That's what humble Christian service does. Look in verse 15. Look in verse 15 again and hold these orange sheets. I'm going to talk about them in 1 minute. Look in verse 15 where Jesus says, I have given you an example. This was not some church ordinance, by the way. This was not some church practice that he was putting in the church, say, okay, at your church you need to wash feet in your church. That's not what he's doing. This was a custom of the day. They had to have their feet washed. You washed your own feet this morning, then you put them in your nice little socks and your nice little shoes, and you drove in your nice little car, and you walked on the nice little pavement to get to this building. Your feet don't need to be washed. And if they do, you should have washed them yourself. He wasn't setting out some church practice. He was setting an example of what service is like. I have given you example, verse 15, that you should what? Do as I have done to you. Not just one time. The word do is in the present tense, indicating a continuous action. You need to keep on doing this. Look at verse 17. If you know these things I've taught you, happy, blessed are you if you do. Keep on doing them. You want to be happy as a Christian? Then, brethren, we need to get busy serving each other. Well, what kind of things do Christians do to serve one another? What kind of things are we talking about when Jesus says we need to wash each other's feet? And if that's not a literal, we need to wash each other's feet, but we need to take on tasks and roles of service towards each other. What kind of things? Orange sheets that have been passed out to you. They've got 10 blanks on the front and it's completely blank on the back. What we want to do is we want to compile a list of as many things as we can think of. We want to compile a list. Suppose you're talking to a new convert. Suppose you're talking to somebody who's just become a Christian. They say, what does it mean I'm supposed to serve one another? Galatians 5:13, through love, serve one another. What does it mean I'm supposed to get down on my knees and be willing to serve no matter what, no matter when, no matter who? What kind of things am I supposed to do? What would you tell that new convert that they need to do? What kind of things have you seen other Christians doing for each other? What was it that when you were growing up, you saw your parents doing for other members of the church? You saw your grandparents doing for other members of the church? Don't think that anything's too small or too big to put on this list. Make a list. What is it that you think is involved in Christian brothers and sisters serving each other? We're not talking about serving the world. That's a different lesson, a whole different application. This is talking about serving one another. Our theme for the month of April, our theme for the year is, I'm not ashamed Our theme for the month of April, I'm not ashamed to wash feet. I'm not ashamed to serve my brethren. And what we want to do next Sunday is to give back to you a list of what we come up with together. So that none of us can say, well, I really don't know what this means. I don't really know what I'm supposed to be doing. And this lesson doesn't have time to go through multiple points of application this morning. This lesson is to give us the overall general principle God wants us to have. And now, what do I do to put it into practice? Write a list for us. Write as many things you want on the front and on the back. And if there's not enough room, you can write a treatise on it this week and email it to us if you want. Preferably not. But write down what you think of and leave it here this morning. If you will leave it on the pew here this morning, we can collect them. If you say, well, that's not enough time. I've got 45 things that David needs to be doing, you know, for everybody in the church, and I don't have time to fit them all on this, fine. Email them in, write them in. But today would be preferable to get all of these. And it's anonymous, by the way. You don't have to put your name on this. We're not looking for what you think everybody else ought to be doing. What should all of us be doing together? Nothing too big, nothing too small. We need to recognize that what Christian love does is that Christian love serves. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And guys, if you want to start passing around the next set of bags there, when these come around, look in your Bibles in John 13, 34, and 35. The guys are going to pass around some Ziploc bags. Just take one item, one. Y'all understand one, right? Take one item. Everybody in here gets one item out of the bag that comes to you. All right? Uno. Okay? Take one out and we'll talk about it. John 13, 34, and 35. Jesus said to them in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How much, Jesus? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How are people going to know that I'm a Christian? Jesus says people are going to know you're a Christian by your love. Well, what does Christian love do? Christian love serves each other. Question is, am I a Christian? Am I a Christian the way Jesus defines what a Christian is in John chapter 13? Am I serving my brethren? This is not optional. This is not for those who are good at it. This is not, well, when I have time. This is a must. Jesus said it was a must. Coming around in these Ziploc bags, and those of you who are in the front will get them in just a minute. Coming around in these Ziploc bags for everyone to take one item is a little bowl. A little wooden bowl. Small enough to fit in your pocket. Small enough to fit in your purse or in your change purse. Small enough to fit in a place where you will see it and encounter it on a regular basis. Some of you remember years ago when we had a lesson on our responsibility. I know it's hard to pay attention when everybody's moving around and we're getting all these goodies out of the bags. Some of you remember years ago when we talked about our responsibility as Christians to take the gospel to the lost world, that we gave out black marbles, and some of you still have those black marbles on you today. We passed out black marbles as a reminder that here is a black sphere reminiscent of the world that is lost in darkness. And my responsibility, every time I see that, touch that, encounter that black marble, is to remember there are lost people in darkness around me. When I encounter this little bowl, this may be something you put in your pocket every morning. This may be something that you set down on the gauge panel in your car. This may be wherever you can see this every day. Wherever you can have a gentle reminder every day, I'm a Christian. And my responsibility as a Christian is to serve. They walked in that room that evening, and there was a bowl and a pitcher and a towel that nobody touched until Jesus taught them a lesson. We have a bowl, figuratively. We've got a bowl to serve. Brad, check your six. We've got a bowl to serve. We have a reminder that our responsibility is not to serve whenever it might be okay with me, but to do it no matter what the service might be. I see something that needs to be done. It's not, well, I'm going to call somebody else. This really isn't my forte. This really is beneath me, no matter what it is. No matter when it is. No matter who it is. May God help us to help each other to grow together, grow closer to each other, and grow closer to our Lord. There's an interesting part of this conversation that Jesus had with Peter. Back up in about verse 9 and 10, Peter talked to Jesus, or Jesus talked to Peter about being completely cleansed. I wonder this morning, are you completely cleansed? Have you had every one of your sins completely washed away by the blood of Jesus? You know, Jesus bent down in that room to wash their feet. Have you ever had Jesus to wash away your sins? Have you ever had Jesus not to take a basin of water, but to take His blood and to wash away your sins through obedience to His will? The Bible says that if we're going to be cleansed from our sins, we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe He died for my sins, that He was buried, that He was raised again the third day. And if I believe that, in order to be cleansed, I need to repent. I need to turn away from my sin. I want to stop doing that. I want to start serving my God and be ready to confess the faith that's in my heart. And then in a large basin of water, to allow myself to be baptized, to be buried, to be immersed in water. Not so that the water can cleanse me, but so that I, in that water, body of water, might come in contact with the blood of Jesus, being buried into His death, as Romans 6 says, and allow His blood to wash away my sins. Have you ever been fully cleansed from your sins by being baptized? And if you have, are you today living a faithful Christian life, walking in the light as He is in the light, so that His blood might continue to cleanse you from your sin? Can this church help you? Can this church help you to have the right answer on the day of judgment? If we can help you in any way, come right now as together we stand and sing.